قد خسر الذين كذبوا بلقاء الله حتى إذا جاءتهم الساعة بغتة قالوا يا حسرتنا على ما فرطنا فيها وهم يحملون أوزارهم على ظهورهم ألا ساء ما يزرون.
Those who consider it a lie that they will have to meet Allah are indeed the losers, so much so that when that hour comes to them, suddenly they will say, "Alas for us, how negligent we have been in this behalf." They will carry their burden of sins on their backs. How evil is the burden they bear!
وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ وَلَلدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ.
The life of this world is nothing but a sport and a pastime, and the life of the hereafter is far better for those who seek to ward off their ruin. Will you not then understand? The life of this world is nothing but a sport and a pastime. This does not mean that earthly life has nothing serious about it and that it has been brought into being merely as a sport and pastime. Whatever this observation means is that compared with the true and abiding life of the hereafter, earthly life seems, as it were, a sport, a transient pastime with which to amuse oneself before turning to serious business. Earthly life has been likened to a sport and pastime for another reason as well. Since ultimate reality is hidden in this world, the superficially minded ones who lack true perception encounter many a thing which causes them to fall a prey to misconceptions. As a result of these misconceptions, such persons indulge in a variety of actions which are so blatantly opposed to reality that their life seems to consist merely of sport and pastime. One who assumes the position of a king in this world, for instance, is no different from the person who plays the part of a king on the stage of a theater. His head is bedecked with a crown, and he goes about commanding people as if he were a king, even though he has no royal authority. He may later, if the director of the theater wishes, be either dismissed from his royal office, put into prison, or even be sentenced to death. Plays of this kind go on all over the world. Saints and man-made deities are deemed to respond to human supplications even though they do not have a shred of authority to do so. Again, some people try to unravel the unseen, even though to do so lies altogether beyond their reach. There are those who claim to provide sustenance to others, despite the fact that they are themselves dependent on others for their own sustenance. There are still others who think that they have the power either to bestow honor and dignity on human beings, or to degrade them, either to confer benefits or to harm them. Such people go about trumpeting their own glory, but their own foreheads bear the stamp of their humble bondage to their Creator. By just one twist of fortune, such people may fall off their pedestals and be trampled under the feet of those upon whom they have been imposing their godlike authority. All these plays come to a sudden end with death. As soon as man crosses the boundaries of this world and steps into the next, the reality will be fully manifest. All the misconceptions that he has entertained will be peeled away, and he will be shown the true worth of his beliefs and actions.
قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ.
O Muhammad, peace be upon him, we know indeed that the things they say grieve you, though in truth it is not you whom they give the lie to, but it is the signs of Allah that these wrongdoers reject. O Muhammad, peace be upon him, we know indeed that the things they say grieve you, though in truth it is not you whom they give the lie to, but it is the signs of Allah that these wrongdoers reject. The fact is that before the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, began to preach the message of God, all his people regarded him as truthful and trustworthy and had full confidence in his veracity. Only after he had begun to preach the message of God did they call him a liar. Even during this period, none dared to say that the Prophet, peace be upon him, had ever been guilty of untruthfulness in personal matters. Even his worst enemies never accused him of lying in any worldly affairs. When they did accuse him of falsehood, they did so in respect of his prophetic mission. Abu Jahl, for instance, was one of his staunchest enemies. According to a tradition from Ali, Abu Jahl once said to the Prophet, peace be upon him, "We do not disbelieve you, we disbelieve your message." On the occasion of the Battle of Badr, Akhnas bin Sharik asked Abu Jahl, when they were alone, to confide whether he considered Muhammad, peace be upon him, to be truthful or not. He replied, "By God, Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a veracious person. He has never lied in all his life. But if every honorable office, liwa, standard bearing in war, sikaya, provision of water to the pilgrims, hijaba, guardianship of the Kaaba, and nubuwa, prophethood, were to fall to the share of the descendants of Qusay, what would be left for the rest of the Quraysh?" Here God consoles the Prophet, peace be upon him, by telling him that by charging him with falsehood, the unbelievers were calling God untruthful. Since God has endured this accusation with mild forbearance, leaving them free to persist in their blasphemy, the Prophet, peace be upon him, need not feel undue disquiet.
وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قبلك فصبروا على ما كذبوا وأوذوا حتى أتاهم نصرنا ولا مبدل لكلمات الله ولقد جاءك من نبأ المرسلين.
Messengers before you have been given the lie to, and they endured with patience, their being given the lie to and being persecuted until the time when our help reached them. None has the power to alter the words of Allah. Indeed, some account of the messengers has already reached you. None has the power to alter the words of Allah. The point emphasized here is that no one has the power to change God's law regarding the conflict between truth and falsehood. Lovers of truth must of necessity pass through trials and persecutions so as to be gradually tempered. Their endurance, their honesty of conviction, their readiness to sacrifice and to undertake all risks for their cause, the strength of their faith and the extent of their trust in God must be tested. They must pass through this phase of persecution to develop in themselves those qualities which can be developed nowhere else but on earth. They are also required to defeat the forces of ignorance by virtue of their moral excellence and the nobility of their character. Only after they have established their moral superiority over their adversaries will God's help arrive. No one can secure that help beforehand.
وَإِن كَانَ كَبُرَ عَلَيْكَ إِعْرَاضُهُمْ فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تَبْتَغِيَ نَفَقًا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَوْ سُلَّمًا فِي السَّمَاءِ فَتَأْتِيَهُمْ بِآيَةٍ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَمَعَهُمْ عَلَى الْهُدَى فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ.
Nevertheless, if their turning away grieves you, then seek, if you can, either a way down into the earth or a ladder to the heavens, and try to bring to them some sign. Had Allah so willed, He would have gathered them all to the true guidance. Do not then be among the ignorant. And try to bring to them some sign. The Prophet, peace be upon him, saw that even though he had spent a long time admonishing his people, they did not seem inclined to heed his call. As a result, he sometimes wished for the appearance of some extraordinary sign of God that would undermine the stubbornness of his people and lead them to accept his guidance. This verse embodies God's response to the Prophet's desire. He is told not to be impatient. He must persist in his striving and continue to work in conformity with God's directive. Had it been God's purpose to work miracles, he would have done so. But God did not consider that to be either the appropriate method for bringing to a successful completion the required intellectual and moral revolution for the evolution of a sound, healthy civilization. Well, then if the Prophet, peace be upon him, could not bear patiently with the attitude of stubbornness and rejection prevalent among his people, and if he thought it necessary to make them witness a tangible sign of God, let him muster all his strength and try to cleave the earth or climb a ladder to the heavens and bring forth a miracle powerful enough to change the unbelief of the unbelievers into belief. He is told, however, that in this regard he should not expect God to fulfill his wish, for such things have no place in God's scheme. Do not, then, be among the ignorant. Had it been required that all people should be driven to the truth, there would have been no need to send prophets, to reveal heavenly books, to direct believers to engage in struggles against unbelievers, and to make the message of truth pass through the necessary stages until fulfillment is reached. The result could have been achieved by a single sign of God's creative will. God, however, did not want things to happen that way. He preferred the truth to be set before people with its supporting arguments, so that by a proper exercise of their rational judgment, they should recognize it for what it was, and thereafter freely choose to embrace it as their faith. By molding their lives in conformity with this truth, such people should demonstrate their moral superiority over the devotees of falsehood. They should continually attract men of sound morals by the force of their arguments, by the loftiness of their ideals, by the excellence of their principles, and by the purity of their lives. They should thus reach their goal, the establishment of hegemony of the true faith, by the natural and gradual escalation of strife against falsehood. God will guide them in the performance of this task and will provide them with whatever help they merit during the various stages of their struggle. But if anyone wishes to evade this natural course and wants God to obliterate corrupt ideas and to spread healthy ones in their stead, to root out a corrupt civilization and put a healthy one in its place by exercising his omnipotent will, let him know that this will not come about. The reason is that such is contrary to the scheme according to which God has created man as a responsible being, bestowed upon him a degree of power which he may exercise, granted him the freedom to choose between obedience and disobedience to God, awarded him a certain term of life in order to demonstrate his worth, and determined that at an appointed hour he will judge him for either reward or punishment in the light of his deeds.
إنما يستجيب الذين يسمعون والموتى يبعثهم الله ثم إليه يرجعون.
Only they who listen can respond to the call of truth. As for the dead, Allah will raise them, and then to Him they will be returned. As for the dead, those who hear refers to those whose consciences are alive, who have not atrophied their intellect and reason, and who have not closed their hearts to the truth out of irrational prejudice and mental inflexibility. In contrast to such people are those who are characterized as dead, who blindly follow the old familiar beaten tracks and can never deviate from the ways they have inherited, even when these ways are plainly at variance with the truth.
وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِ قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن يُنَزِّلَ آيَةً وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
And they say, why has no miraculous sign been sent down to him from his Lord? Say, surely Allah has the power to send down a sign, but most of them do not know. Say, surely Allah has the power to send down a sign, but most of them do not know. The word ayah here signifies a tangible miracle. The purpose of the verse is to point out that the reason for not showing a miraculous sign is not God's powerlessness. The true reason is something else which those people in their immaturity have failed to comprehend.
وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شيء ثم إلى ربهم يحشرون.
There is no animal that crawls on the earth, no bird that flies with its two wings, but our communities like you. We have neglected nothing in the book of decree. Then to their Lord will they all be mustered.
وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا صُمٌّ وَبُكْمٌ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ مَنْ يَشَأْ إِلَّهُ يُضْلِلْهُ وَمَنْ يَشَأْ يَجْعَلْهُ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ.
Those who gave the lie to our signs are deaf and dumb and blunder about in darkness. Allah causes whomsoever He wills to stray in error and sets whomsoever He wills on the straight way. Those who gave the lie to our signs are deaf and dumb and blunder about in darkness. If they are concerned with miraculous signs in order to determine whether or not the message of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is indeed true, then let them look around with open and attentive eyes. If they actually do so, they will find the world full of such signs. Let them take any species of animal or bird they like. They can reflect upon the superbness of its organic structure. They will notice how its instinctive urges are in complete conformity with its natural requirements. They will also observe how wonderfully adequate are the arrangements for providing it with nourishment. How marvelously well determined are the limits within which it lives. How tremendously efficient is the system under which each living creature is protected, provided for, looked after, and directed towards self-fulfillment. How strictly each one is fitted into the framework of the discipline devised for it, and how very smooth is the operation of the whole system of birth, procreation, and death. Were one to reflect on this alone from among the innumerable signs of God, one would perceive fully how true the teaching of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is concerning the unity and other attributes of God, and how necessary it is to live a righteous life, in conformity with the concept of God propounded by him. But their eyes were neither open to perceive the truth, nor their ears open to heed admonition. Instead, they remained ignorant, preferring to be entertained by the performance of wondrous feats, and sets whomsoever he wills on the straight way. God's act of misguiding a man consists in not enabling one who cherishes his ignorance to observe the signs of God. The fact is that if a biased person, one who has no real love of the truth, were to observe the signs of God, he might still fail to perceive it. Indeed, all those things which cause misconception and confusion would probably continue to alienate him from it. God's act of true guidance consists in enabling a seeker after the truth to benefit from the sources of true knowledge, so that he constantly delivers sign after sign, leading him ultimately to the truth. A myriad of cases are encountered daily to illustrate this. We notice that a great many people pass inattentively over the countless signs of God that are scattered all over the world, and ignore even those signs which are manifest in human beings as well as in animals. It is little wonder, then, that they derive no lesson from all these signs. There are many who study zoology, botany, biology, geology, astronomy, physiology, anatomy, and other branches of natural science. Others study history, archaeology, and sociology. During the course of each studies, they come across many signs of God which, if they cared to look at them in the correct perspective, might fill their hearts with faith. But since they commence their study with a bias, and are actuated only by the desire to acquire earthly advantages, they fail to discover the signs which could lead them to the truth. On the contrary, each of those very signs of God contributes to pushing them towards atheism, materialism, and naturalism. At the same time, the world is not empty of those truly wise ones who view the universe with open eyes. For them, even the most ordinary phenomenon of the universe directs them to God.
قُلْ أَرَأَيْتَكُمْ إِنْ أَتَاكُمْ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ أَوْ أَتَتْكُمُ السَّاعَةُ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَدْعُونَ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَدْعُونَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
Say, what do you think if some chastisement of Allah or the hour suddenly overtakes you? Do you cry to any other than Allah? Answer if you speak the truth.
بَلْ إِيَّاهُ تَدْعُونَ فَيَكْشِفُ مَا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ إِنْ شَاءَ وَتَنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ
Lo, it is to him alone that you cry, and then if he so wills, he removes the distress for which you had cried to him. Then you forget the partners you had set up with Allah. Attention is now drawn towards another sign, one observable even in the lives of those who deny the truth. When either some great calamity befalls a man, or when death starkly stares him in the face, it is only to God that he turns for refuge. On such occasions, even the staunchest polytheists forget their false gods and cry out to the one true God, and even the most rabid atheists stretch out their hands in prayer to him. This phenomenon is mentioned here in order to draw an instructive lesson. It shows that devotion to God and monotheism are ingrained in the human soul. No matter how overlaid this truth might be, someday it shakes off man's heedlessness and ignorance and manifests itself fully. It was the observation of this sign which had led Ikramah, the son of Abu Jahl, to the true faith. For when Makkah was conquered at the hands of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Ikramah fled to Jeddah and sailed from there towards Abyssinia. During the voyage, the boat ran into a severe storm which threatened to capsize it. At first, people began calling on their gods and goddesses. Later on, when the storm grew even worse and the passengers were sure that the boat would sink, they began to feel it was time to call on God alone, for he alone could save them. This opened the eyes of Ikramah, whose heart cried out to him that if there was no effective helper for them in that situation, how could there be one elsewhere? He also recalled that this was precisely what the Prophet, peace be upon him, had constantly told people, and that it was precisely because of this preaching that they had been engaged in unnecessary violent conflict with him. This was a turning point in Ikramah's life. He instantly made up his mind that if he survived the storm, he would go straight to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and place his hand in his, binding himself in allegiance. Thereafter, he not only remained true to his word by becoming a Muslim, but spent the rest of his life struggling in the cause of Islam.